verse 7, that his return to heaven was a good thing. It was expedient, advantageous for him to leave. If he did not return to heaven, Holy Spirit could not be poured out upon his disciples, could not come alongside and accompany us through our journey on earth until our death or the rapture. Jesus wanted us to know before he left that he was not leaving us alone, but rather he would ask the Father to send Holy Spirit. The plan of God was and remains that each born-again believer will have a constant companion at their side, constant in the midst of storms, in times of aloneness, in times of need, Holy Spirit, alongside for fellowship, for advice and counsel, for help. Jesus called the Spirit of God the Comforter. The Greek term translated to comforter means counselor, one who provides wisdom and understanding, both in practical matters and the things of God. Helper, the very hand of God, the power, might, and ability of God to assist us. Intercessor. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit," and that word means nevertheless, "in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." When you and I pray in our prayer languages, when we speak in tongues, we are praying spiritual mysteries, speaking to God things that he understands. Our prayer language are groans and utterances that are produced by our own vocal cords, our own tongues. When I pray in tongues, I yield and exercise my will and choose to speak the language, the utterances Holy Spirit imparts to my spirit. Philip's translation, Romans 8, verse 26, gives us a wonderful explanation of what takes place. The Spirit also helps us in our present limitations. For example, we do not know how to pray worthily, but His Spirit within us is actually praying for us in those agonizing longings which cannot find words. He who knows the heart's secrets understands the Spirit's intention as he prays according to God's will for those who love him. Philip's translation says, "The Spirit also helps." And that word helps means to hold, to take hold of opposite together, or to cooperate. To take hold of opposite together, or cooperate. So Holy Spirit takes hold together with us against whatever weaknesses, flaws, or works of the enemy that are trying to overwhelm us. Intercessor, Holy Spirit praying through us the perfect prayer. As I pray in tongues, yielding and exercising my will, choosing to speak the utterances that Holy Spirit imparts to my spirit. My tongue, my vocal cords, but the utterances, the language, the words that Holy Spirit imparts to my spirit. This role of intercessor flows into Holy Spirit's role as advocate. An advocate is a person who pleads on behalf of another. A person who speaks or writes in support of some cause, argument, or proposal. Holy Spirit pleads on our behalf as he intercedes for us through those agonizing longings which cannot find words. This role of advocate operates in another way as well. Occasionally, you and I may be stirred in our spirit to pray for someone else or to pray for a given situation. It is the advocate, Holy Spirit, who has spoken to us, who has urged or stirred our spirit on behalf of another. Oh, it's so wonderful, his role in our lives, giving us the perfect prayer, urging others to pray for us, and as they pray in their prayer language and as they pray in the Spirit, they too pray the perfect prayer on our behalf. And you recall that Jesus is our high priest who makes intercession at the right hand of the Father. Can you see that three-prong cord? Our intercession, according to the will of God in the Spirit, someone else praying for us, and Jesus praying for us. Holy Spirit is the strengthener. Jesus called him the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Here we have reference to the Holy Spirit as strengthener. Paul, in praying for the Ephesians, says, "May he, our Heavenly Father, grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit." Himself, Holy Spirit, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, meaning his love. Notice, strengthened, reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by Holy Spirit, himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. It is not brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, in the Amplified. There, after Paul learned that some of the residents of Colossae became born-again believers, he began interceding for them. And one area of his prayer for them was that the brethren would be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. Oh, that's a mighty prayer. Notice, he asks that the brethren would be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of God's glory. Strengthened with the power that we receive from Holy Spirit. And we see the purpose of this strengthening, that we would have every kind of endurance and patience with joy, not enduring trials and circumstances with murmuring and complaining, but with joy, with patience, endurance. I'm sure you're familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, no trial regarded as enticing to sin. No matter how the temptation comes or where it leads, none of that which has overtaken you is uncommon to man. It is simply common. But God is faithful, faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. Isn't that wonderful? He is faithful. He can be trusted. He can be trusted that we won't be tempted above our ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. And that strength of resistance and power to endure we obtain from the Holy Spirit, who is given to us to strengthen us in our innermost being. Strengthen means empowered, to increase in vigor, to increase in physical strength, capacity, for natural growth and survival, enthusiasm or intensity, to be enabled. Holy Spirit enables and empowers us. Well, beloved, our time is up for today, and I pray, as Paul prayed for the Colossians, that you will be invigorated and strengthened in your innermost being according to the might of his glory, that you will attain to all steadfastness and patience with joy. Oh, the blessings of the Lord be upon you, brethren. Bye-bye. Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He said, it is expedient, profitable, a good thing for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Strengthener. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Himself, Holy Spirit, indwelling your innermost being and personality. Strengthened. Strengthened means empowered. To increase in vigor, physical strength. Increased in capacity for natural strength and survival. Enthusiasm or intensity. To enable. Holy Spirit enables, empowers, invigorates us, increasing our capacity for spiritual growth, spiritual survival, regardless of the circumstances, increasing our enthusiasm and intensity for spiritual things, the things of God. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to experience the strengthening of the Holy Spirit for physical energy. I had worked a very long and taxing week as I practiced law and had made a commitment to host a prayer group and Bible study in my home that Friday evening at the end of the week. And after a very long day, I came home and needed to clean and organize my apartment and prepare snacks for the people, and was tempted to murmur and complain about all I had taken on for that week. But rather than murmur and complain, I felt a nudge, and I believe it was the nudge of the Holy Spirit to begin to praise the Lord and to worship. And as I began to sing in the Spirit and to praise the Lord, I was revived, strengthened, and I had enthusiasm for what I'd undertaken. And sure enough, as the people began to arrive, my home was organized and cleaned, and I was bright and cheerful, and the evening went well because of the strengthening by the Holy Spirit. In chapter 17 of 1 Kings, we have a natural example or pattern for us with spiritual implications in terms of strengthening. You recall the relationship between Elijah and Ahab, the wicked king of Israel. Elijah told Ahab that no rain would occur except at his word. And he leaves the presence of Ahab, and Elijah is directed to go to a brook, and God feeds him for a season at that place. And afterwards, the brook dries up, and Elijah goes to a widow as directed by God. And there, he and the widow and her son are sustained for 3 years. Later, the Lord sends Elijah to Ahab to inform Ahab that rain is coming. And Elijah has a showdown with the prophets of Baal to demonstrate whether the God of Israel, our God, or Baal, was the true and living God. Again, it's a story that you're familiar with. But Elijah says to the prophets of Baal, "Let us call on the name of our God and see which one will answer. And the one that answers by fire is the living God." And the prophets of Baal like the challenge, and the people agree. And Elijah permits the prophets of Baal to go first. And they take a bull and prepare it as a sacrifice on the altar that they build. And they call on the name of Baal from morning until evening, leaping about the altar, cutting themselves, gushing with blood. But nothing happens. Elijah then repairs an old altar of the Lord that had been broken down by Jezebel, Ahab's wife. And he prepares the sacrifice for the altar, but then drenches the altar and the sacrifice with water, 3 containers of water. Imagine just the miracle of having water after a drought for over 3 years. But Elijah has water, soaks the sacrifice, the wood, the altar, and even fills a trench that he had built around the altar with water. And then he prays. He prays to our God. Oh, and our God answered with fire, consuming the sacrifice, the altar, and the water. Afterwards, Elijah kills the prophets of Baal, tells Ahab to get something to eat. And then Elijah begins to pray. And he prays and sends his servant 7 times to see if there's any evidence of rain. And the 7th time, the servant comes back and says, "A cloud about the size of a man's hand is seen." So Elijah sends the servant to tell Ahab to get back to Jezreel before the rain. And then Elijah girds up his loins and outruns Ahab's chariot, a distance of almost 20 miles. But once there, Elijah is threatened by Jezebel, Ahab's wife, and those demon spirits that were operating through her, spirits of divination and witchcraft, rebellion and idolatry. The demon spirits that encouraged a total indifference and disregard for God and his ways. Those spirits operating through Jezebel controlled Ahab and now sought to intimidate and threaten Elijah. Afraid, Elijah runs for his life, a distance of almost 80 miles. And there, a mighty man of valor, a mighty man of God, shaken and afraid, asked God to let him die. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, it says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a lone juniper tree, and asked that he might die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." You see, I believe that Elijah, out of a sense of guilt and failure, asked to die. I believe he was grieved at his failure to stand firm against Jezebel and the demons that were operating through her. But the word goes on to say that as he lay asleep under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on coals and a bottle of water at his head. And he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and nights to the mount of the Lord, to Horeb. Elijah was fed twice and sustained 40 days by supernatural food. Now, how does this relate to our topic, Holy Spirit as strengthener? When we are confronted with the acts and intimidation of demonic forces through the people that we work with, through the people that we may be assigned to minister to, we have the spiritual food of the water and bread of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed in the written word in the Bible, and through the abiding presence of the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a man or woman of God and you're being intimidated by religious spirits, by demonic spirits of rebellion and witchcraft and idolatry that encourage others to disregard the ways of God, be strengthened today by the Holy Spirit in your innermost being and attain to all steadfastness and patience and fulfill your destiny, your call. God bless you. Bye-bye.